As was mentioned earlier, we are celebrating Divine Mercy Sunday. We are rejoicing in that mercy that God wants to offer us. I don't know about you, but when I do something wrong, I'm always like, please have mercy on me. But mercy is part of a whole bunch of concepts that have to come together. It happens at the end of a process. So I'd like to walk that through to help us, not only just understanding mercy, but also forgiveness and reconciliation and all those other wonderful things as well. Now, the whole process of mercy starts with a sin, or sins, plural. Now, sin has become a bad word because many people think it has a religious connotation. It has a moral judgment. Well, it does, and it is. So I went to the internet and looked up a secular definition for sin. It said, sin is an offense against reason, truth, and right conscience. So I think people of all ilks could agree that sin exists. Sure, we can debate what is truth, what is right, but even a four-year-old can look at a situation and say, that's not good for you. That's not fair, right? Not that you're 4 years old, right? You're good though. All right, you learned your lesson. So even a four-year-old can look at it and say, you know what, something's wrong. Now we know four-year-olds get it wrong. Sometimes the appropriate response is, you're four, I'm 49, be quiet, okay? But other times you can say, yeah, you're right. You as a four-year-old acknowledge that there's something wrong with this situation. Go home today and jump on the internet or newspaper and you'll see there's lots of sins in our world. So among friends, let's just say, you know, sin exists. Now, sin is always an offense against another, even if we sin by ourselves because we offend God. God created us, we are his children. He says, take care of yourself. So if we even sin by ourselves, there needs to be some type of forgiveness. And we see this in today's gospel. Jesus is giving the apostles the authority, the power to forgive sins in his name, right? So we see this forgiveness of sins being given. Now, forgiveness is also, again, part of this process of mercy. So we have to understand what it is. Forgiveness basically says, I don't hate the other person. I don't hate the other person. So if you think about it, forgiveness is really for the person who has been harmed. Let's say someone harmed you or harmed me, and right now, I don't know, they're in Tahoe, drinking a drink, and what do you do in Tahoe? What if, I don't know, ski? Can you still ski this time of year? Let's say they're skiing. Okay. They might not be thinking about you. They might not be thinking about me. But if I'm harboring anger or hatred or resentment, who's that hurting? Who's that hurting? You. Our blood pressure goes up. We get ulcers. We're really crabby to be around, right? So forgiveness basically says, I'm going to work to let this go. Sometimes it's hard. I know in my own life I've prayed, dear God, please kill that person. Amen. Then I have to go back and pray, dear God, don't kill them, just hurt them bad. No, just kidding. Okay. I've done it. We've all done it. But eventually we have to let that go. We have to let it go, okay? Great. Now, I think the piece that people get hung up with forgiveness is this misnomer of forgive and forget. That's a recipe for disaster. We don't forgive and forget. We forgive and learn. Now, we can also forgive someone, but then ask for justice. Justice says, hey, something was wrong. You have to rectify the best you can the situation. So your neighbor says, may I borrow your shovel? Here you go. Then 2 hours later, they come back and the head of the shovel is in this hand, and the body of the shovel is in this hand. They say, I broke your shovel. And you say, well, I forgive you. But you know what? Home Depot is open right now. Guess where you're going, right? So you can have forgiveness, but then also say there must be justice. There has to be justice as well. So now that we've addressed sin, forgiveness, and justice, now let's talk about mercy. Again, mercy doesn't say sin doesn't exist. Mercy starts with acknowledging something has gone wrong. But mercy is going to say, the letter of the law says this is the punishment you should get, but you know what? In mercy, I'm going to decrease that. Let's say your kid is running around your house, playing ball in the house, breaks your lamp, you know, and you're like, ah. So they come to you with their piggy bank. Mom, Dad, I have $4.38. And you say, all right, I'll take it. But the lamp is, I don't know, $500. And what do? You say, you know what, son, I'm going to teach you a lesson. You said you were sorry, good for you. I'm going to take your $4.38 to show you that sometimes in life, there's consequences. But then, you know, Mom and I are going to make up the other, I don't know, $496.28, whatever it is, right? You've shown mercy to the kid. You said what you should be paying, you have no ability to pay, so I'm going to show you mercy. I'm going to decrease the punishment that is due. Actually, I'm going to take some of the punishment upon myself, because Mom and I are going to lay out some cash that you don't have. So before we get to divine mercy, I just want a little sidetrack to reconciliation, not sacramental reconciliation, but two parties coming together. Now, there are times that it's great when there's forgiveness and when there's mercy that the two parties can come back together again and they're one big happy family. But sometimes people sin against each other in a very horrible, horrendous ways where reconciliation might not be possible. Now, I'm not talking about the little things like someone forgot your birthday. Get over it. You'll have another one next year, okay? Get over it. I'm talking about the really big ones. For instance, I've dealt with women whose fathers did horrible things to them, and they struggle with that. The memories are there, and it's very, very difficult to even think about their father, let alone be in the same room with them. And I said, you know what, until healing happens in you, it's okay. It's okay to say, you know what, I forgive you, I love you, but until I'm able to process all my feelings and all my emotions, you can't be part of my life, right? Extreme cases. Again, if your brother gave you a noogie when you were six, get over it, okay? But there are times where you might say, I can't. I cannot have this person in my life just right now. And if it can't happen, reconciliation in this world, we pray in heaven that we can be all together as one. So with this background, now let's go to divine mercy. When we sin against God, there must be justice, right? Justice must be fulfilled. So how do we do that? Well, God is perfect. God is infinite. So a sin against God is perfect and infinite. How do we imperfect and limited human beings make up the justice then? The answer is we can't. We cannot do this. So God would be justified in saying to all of us, go to hell. But he doesn't. What did he do? He said in the fullness of time, because I love you so much, I'm going to send my son into the world. My son is truly human, but also truly divine. And this truly human and divine being said, I'm going to lay down my life on the cross so that sins could be forgiven, so that justice can happen. So God makes the ultimate, eternal, perfect sacrifice himself. This way, justice has now been fulfilled. Now that justice has been fulfilled, God can then offer us mercy. The same way the kid with the $4.38 comes and says, here's what I can offer you, and you as the parent say, I'm going to make up the rest. Same thing happens with us. We come to our Heavenly Father and say, this is the best, the most I can give to you. And he says, I am going to make up the rest, so that you can have mercy and we can be reconciled and be back into right relationship with each other in this life and in the life to come. So Divine Mercy Sunday is a beautiful reminder of what God will do for us because he loves us that much. He was willing to take our sins upon himself so that justice could be fulfilled and that we could have mercy. This is the love that our God has for us, and this is what we should rejoice every day of our lives.